Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine the kingdom and power and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
Amen. So welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
There's a large group coming after us.
Oh, we need to get more chairs. He says there's a larger group coming. There are more people coming?
Yeah,
we need to get some more chairs.
Okay, so we are going to wait. Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready? Good. So we are going to continue on this theme, which is very interesting, and it might change our understanding of fasting. And today, several paragraphs I hope that we will go through. Really, those paragraphs will. They are going to change our understanding of fast. So let's start to read. We are going to start on page 131, the last paragraph on the page. 131. Okay, please.
And even today, sinful death continues to strike down those who break the holy commandment to fast. Those who do not preserve moderation and the necessary discernment in food can preserve neither virginity nor chastity. They cannot reign in anger. They fall prey to laziness, depression, and sadness, and they become the slaves of vanity, the home of pride, all of which lead the person into a carnal state that is most obviously revealed in his luxurious and overflowing table. The commandment to fast is renewed or even confirmed by the Gospels. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, said the Lord. Overeating and drunkenness not only make the body weak, but also the mind and heart. In other words, they lead the person both in his soul and body into a carnal state. Fasting, on the contrary, leads a Christian into a spiritual state. He who is cleansed by fasting is contrite in his spirit, chaste, humble, silent, and refined in the emotions of the heart and thoughts, light in his body, capable of spiritual labors and contemplation, and capable of accepting the grace of God.
Well, it's interesting because what he says is he gives like two options, you know, that if we don't fast, so it leads to many passions in our life. And even those passions, you know, we would never, or person who doesn't think or it's not, doesn't study this art of spiritual life, nobody would think that if I don't fast, I am not able to reign in anger, you know, that I can, laziness, chastity, I cannot preserve that, virginity, and other passions, depression, sadness, vanity, pride, everything is like connected with fasting, he says. And then he says that all these virtues, the fasting helps us to gain these virtues and to grow in these virtues. And now we can be, it can raise in us some kind of suspicions that isn't just some kind of religious monks talk, you know, because they love fasting. And we have to realize that he's not talking about something what he just made it up, you know, somehow in free time. What is amazing with this book is, and I think that I was talking about the last time, that when you read that, you can hear echo of Holy Fathers from 6th century, 7th century, 8th century. So all like Cassian and Climacus and like the Syrian, you can. It's sometimes you think that he's stealing their words to tell us something. But true is that they keep this tradition, you know, of spiritual life, how to live, and they just give it and to us. And he lived in 19th century, so it means there's more than one, over 1,000 years was between those Holy Fathers, him, and they teach the same thing. Because human heart is the same. They lived in different society, different like levels of society, and different environments. And we live totally in different level of civilization. But we have to realize that even if everything is changed in us and progress in science and technology is here, human heart is always the same. You know, human heart is always the same. Our spiritual life and our spiritual needs, there is no progress in this that which we can connect with some kind of technological progress. We have the same passions as they had people 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. So it means if we have the same passions and we have the same goal, heaven, so it means that the tools how to conquer passions, conquer our sins, are the same. And this is what if he teaches us that, and if he says that there is this connection between among like fasting and how to grow in virtues, or if we don't fast, that we have to expect that these passions will be really rulers of our lives. If he says this, he doesn't say it because he somehow got like revelation. If we go back to how we studied his life of these first monks, first Christian who went to desert, they changed this desert as a like whole, this area like some kind of laboratory, or you know, when they were trying to find out what works for growing in life. And if we read Life of Saints, we can find like very crazy ways how they wanted to force their bodies to be conquered, you know, to how to raise to holiness. We can find these extra ascetical exercises. There was like Saint Simeon, he lived on the pillar, you know, he never went down, you know, so he was on the eyes of everybody, and he lived up. It was strange, but it was one way they were trying to find out what works, what doesn't work. Even with fasting, you can find people who, or these monks who took it to extremes, and they learned that what it cost in their lives. And this is why, for example, Cassian, he says and teaches that you have to have moderation in fasting. But if he talks about moderation, it is really, for us, very strict fast, you know. But still, But because there were other monks who really were pushing that to so huge extremes that they became weak and they couldn't do other spiritual exercises. They couldn't pray, they couldn't work, you know, and they fainted, you know. So he gave really good rules for fasting, and actually he talks a lot about fasting, and it is interesting to read that. But even what Brancino tells us, that, and he gives us this understanding that fasting is not only something what I do as a pious exercise. I have to realize that fasting is something what helps me to grow. If I don't put this base to my life, this foundation, so I cannot expect that I will grow in prayer. I cannot expect that I will grow in virtues. It's impossible to grow without this exercise. Because I think that we were talking about this last time, that because what fasting does, through fasting we conquer our will. And this is something what is very important for progress. All right. The comments? Yeah, all right, let's continue.
The carnal man is completely submerged in his sinful pleasures. He is sensual in his body, in his heart, and in his mind. He is incapable not only of spiritual joy and accepting God's grace, but he cannot even repent. He is incapable of any spiritual work. He is nailed to the earth. He has drowned in a sea of possessions that have no life. While still alive, he is dead in his soul. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Such is the word of God to those who disregard the holy commandment to fast. What will satisfy you in eternity? When here on earth you have learned only to be satiated by perishable food and worldly enjoyments, none of which exist in heaven. What will you eat in eternity when you have never even tasted a single heavenly food? How can you eat and enjoy heavenly food when you have never appreciated it, even despised it on earth?
This is very, I think that if we really think more about these two paragraphs, it has to cause some kind of shaking of our hearts a little bit, because there are a few things. At first, again, we have to realize that also through this we can realize that how that we left this practice of fasting. You know, that even like how many times we heard this, that, well, if you you don't need to on Friday you can eat meat, but, well, do some kind of other act of repentance. So if we are supposed to fast, how you can replace fast with something else? It never made sense for me. But yes, it might, but there it could be some kind of things, you know, emergencies or special occasions when you skip this fast of this blessing of the church, you have to ask for dispensation. But still, even church make this step towards people, but how it spread somehow, like this wrong understanding that, oh, I don't need to fast from meat, but we don't do other acts of repentance. But this is only one factor, you know, like on Friday we really fast, and because of, I mean, we do this exercise because of remembrance of death, the passions of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means the whole day should be filled with the thoughts that we venerate Him, we bow in front of Him, and we glorify Him for His passions. So it means that this act of repentance makes sense. But fast is something more than act of repentance. It is tool for spiritual life. And we abandon it. You know, it's like, it's not should, well, I think that you understand what I am trying to tell you, but and it is always like, you can think that we see situation in the church, we see how our faith is not so strong to impress other people. That something, this power is missing in our Christian life, which would attract others to come to Christ or to keep our children in the church. And we ask why. And, you know, when we go to really limit of our life, spiritual life, so then there is nothing attractive in our faith. But another thing is, and I think this is more here in the second paragraph, he says something that this fasting, or fasting, prepares us even for eternal life. And he says, "Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. What will satisfy you in eternity if you are satisfied with food and worldly and enjoyments here?" Very, very important words, and because, again, we have to some kind of fix this our understanding of eternal life, because I think that many times even we don't know what is there, but if we study these Holy Fathers or we read the spiritual literature, we can find totally different conclusion than we can meet in general among people, because this general understanding is that, okay, I will die, I will go to heaven, and everything will be great. And there is some kind of this expectation that in the moment of death there will be like a radical change in my soul. There will be some kind of transformed, and my soul and my life will get some kind of new qualities I don't have now. But if we try to understand these things, and even like he says, probably the truth is that our life will not change. I don't know, I read this in one article, that we'll be surprised, you know, that we might die and we might not recognize that we died. After a while, we will realize that our soul departed the body, because soul will not feel any change, because our mind will just continue. There is not like something breaking point. Our existence will go, will continue, and it will continue in state in which we are. So it means that, look, like if Christ tells us that try to go through this narrow gate, you know, and be perfect as your Father is perfect. So He's always pushing us to reach this perfectness. And we enter to heaven or to eternal life in the state in which we are. And these were understood by these holy fathers, you know, and like it was good news yesterday or 2 days ago, like this elder Joseph, I recommended this book we have in the library to many of you probably read this. It was announced that there will be canonization of this elder very soon. And if you read his life, how he was strict in his life and in ascetical life, and you say, what kind of life it is? You know, how strict life. But he was growing so fast that really he changed, I would say, life of many people who really brought renewal to many monasteries and manatos and even here to America. But this understanding that I have to grow, you know, that this my journey towards God is, it's not something static that I believe and that's it, that I have to make these steps towards Him. This is something what all these saints, they understood. And they were striving because to reach this state, because they wanted to love God, to see Him, to understand Him, to have this knowledge about Him. And look, what might happen if somebody doesn't try to follow God's word or goes to some kind of this minimum requirement, and the person who is tied with this world, and now his mind is going, you know, like through this moment of death, and he meets God, and he realizes that, well, he sees God. He understands, he sees everything who God is. But he would not like it. He would turn away. And look, one thing is, and we have to, if I don't really like to spend time in prayer in God's presence, if there is not in me this like desire to come for Eucharist, you know, and to meet Christ, to beg Him, may I am able to understand Him more and more. If this is not my desire now, I won't have this desire in eternity. So even we know now Christ is here in the church, in the tabernacle. We can come and bow in front of Him, to praise Him. We can praise Him. We can consume Him. But we say, no, you know, not today. You know, I have many other things to do, or I prefer many other things more than Christ, to be with Christ. This attitude will go with me to eternity. And I will not like Christ, because my soul will be adjusted or attached to other things. Does it make sense? And this is horrible. You know, if you think about this, it's horrible. It might be very horrible. So, it's tough. For sure, God's grace does miracles and wonders, but I think that this conclusion, we can find in Scripture or confirmation in Scripture, and even in reading of this, from these Holy Fathers. So, if he says this, he wants to stress how important this practice of fasting is for us. maybe are able to grow. Because for sure, when you are filled, you know, totally, there is no, it's impossible to pray because you will fall asleep immediately. Your mind will be not sharp. Thought will be lazy. Okay.
Questions or comments? Yes. Holy commandment to fast. You didn't pay attention last Monday. Because when people, when Adam and Eve were in, when Adam and Eve were in Eden, in paradise, they got only one commandment. What was that?
Yeah.
Do not eat. So God, as a first commandment in Bible, in book Genesis, the first commandment he gave to people was abstinence. Okay. Not to eat from that. This is one thing. Another thing is that
when I decide, like, when I decide, okay, I'm not going to eat, maybe I'm going to eat meat, I don't eat meat on Wednesdays and Fridays anyhow, but if I just make a decision to fast in some way and I don't fast, is it a sin?
Okay, there are like church commandment how to fast. Okay, it's quite difficult for me to answer because church, like bishops, they lowered this really to minimum what to keep. But we have to realize that this is minimum. The same thing like when church says at least once per year go to confession. So they put this limit. Okay, if you keep this commandment, you're still Christians. If you don't keep, you are not Christian. You are out. You know, so it means that why to... If we cannot look at this in spiritual life, that what I should do to fulfill that and to come to satisfaction. You know, we cannot... It's not good for our spiritual life. For our spiritual life is... I will fast as much as I can. And it is not about eat, this fasting is not about not to eat meat. It's really to be hungry. He will go in details in this. You know, and if we understand that why we are doing that, he explaining them why now, so then those orders from church doesn't make sense, you know, because we would allow to fast all time. There was like funny story about one monk. He was known that he was fasting so strictly that, well, there was no difference for him. Like if great fast came, well, he couldn't do more, you know. So he thought about this. During one great fast, he said, so how am I going to celebrate Pascha if, well, I fast all time? So he decided that, well, when Pascha comes, when he eats, he will sit down. Because he was eating like standing, you know, as a part of ascesis. But, yeah. Does it make sense?
Oh, yes, and no, I'm still trying to figure out if I decide, okay, tomorrow I'm going to fast, and I break the fast, is it a sin?
If you make...
But you did say to fast as much as you can, so maybe I couldn't do it.
Well, you asked if you make decision to fast,
yeah,
and you break it, if it is sin, well, it's not necessary
if you didn't make some kind of solemn vow, you know, to God, you know, if you make this resolution and you said, oh my Lord, I want to fast because I want to receive your grace to grow and to grow in prayer or something, so I'm going to fast tomorrow and it's Tuesday. And you know that and you break the fast. You know, I would say if you give some kind of vow to God, you should pray. So personally, I would confess it as a sin. You know? Yeah?
First, I think the reason for the fast, are you fasting as penance? Then it throws kind of a whole different light on it. If you're fasting as penance, then you really can't break the fast.
Right. You, good point. You know, but we have to come to this understanding that even like fasting is our life on earth should be like non-stop repentance. We should live in this state of repentance all time, to because we need that. And actually this is something what comes out from this beatitude, first one, blessed are the poor in spirit. So it means that if I'm trying to live that, reach this poverty of spirit, so I'm aware of my state, I'm aware that I need a savior, that I need salvation, I need God's mercy. From this, repentance come up as a natural step, and then each day is day of repentance for me. But we have to understand this, like this. Look, we are returning back to this: how to keep fast to keep commandment. Brianchino says, fasting is lifestyle of a Christian. It's not something that I do it because I keep commandment, to I'm following some rules, but I'm doing it to like somehow to change my way of my life, to put as a natural part of my being this fasting, because this makes me free for other spiritual activities, and I can fight easier with my passions, and I can easier grow in virtues. And I understand that with our fasting, both those things are impossible. I know it from this teaching of these teachers of spiritual life. So we somehow should put to trash this some kind of this question: is this fasting day to day or not? Actually, we can keep it in mind only to make our fasting more strict, you know. And actually, each day, and we will, if we go further, so we will see more details about technique, how to fast. Yes, Jake.
Okay. But since we don't live in a monastery, I will run into this situation a lot. You know, it's a Wednesday or whatever, and you've kept it all day, and then your friend calls you and says, hey, I just threw some burgers on the grill. You want to come eat with us? Is it the more pious thing to just go over there and not say, hey, I fast on Wednesday and Friday, you know? You're supposed to kind of keep it to yourself, aren't you? Like,
you should not go.
No? Okay. All right.
No, yes, look, thank you for that. This is a very good question and good comment. I'm sorry because I just answer. But again, if we take this Wednesday and Friday, Wednesdays are day when we recall or remember betrayal of Christ, and Friday is his death. Now, those days, this fasting there
our abstinence is should help us to keep our mind concentrated on these events. So it means now, you know, that if you think like on Wednesday, if you keep this abstinence, you deny yourself, you say no, this kind of food, and because you want to keep this mind in your mind, that, and you will recall, okay, Christ was betrayed on this day, and then you start to recall how many times you betrayed Christ in your life. You know, so it will fill your soul with some kind of this different atmosphere. And then naturally, if somebody would call you, you would say, well, I'm sorry, thank you for the invitation, but I'm sorry, I'm not in mood to go today. Or you would say something nice to deny, because you would not feel like to go. It is like, you know, to be like, it's natural if there somebody is grieving because of loss of somebody, the person would not go somewhere to enjoy evening with somebody, you know, because this person is filled with some kind of motion which is not connected, you know, that this invitation. So this is why I said this, and this was something was natural. I remember still as a child, and still I think in our third parish was different, but first two parishes, you knew that it's Friday. You know, like all this township was like more silent. You know, that if somebody, like from teenagers, if they want to go somewhere to bar or to dance, oh my God, they would have a hard time home, you know. I remember there was like one young lady, at the time she was 18 or something, that, and she wanted to go on Friday, she wanted to go to the city and to have for dance. And so she went, she said goodbye to parents, good night, she said. She went up to her room, she locked herself, and through window she went down, you know, silently, and she went to city. And then with like fear, she was coming back home. And with this question, did my parents find out that I went somewhere? So what I mean is, now it is difficult for us because this disappeared, you know, in society. So for us it is, we have to rediscover this. Rediscover that those days have deeper meaning than just to, like, say no to meat or to be a little bit hungry. You know, that this always fasting has to be connected with something, what is going on in soul, in heart. If it is not connected, so it doesn't make sense. So it means those who are vegetarians or they don't fast or they have this lifestyle, they are not saints. Because while they do only one part and they don't connect it with the spiritual aspect of our soul. So it is, if we start to add this another part, fast, which is fundament for our growing, for our spiritual activity, so then many things naturally we will understand differently. This sense, but very good question.
Ignatius and also the fathers, they seem to place really central humility. I was just wondering about the connection between humility and fasting, because when you deny yourself something like food or really any sensible pleasure, like obviously you feel a need in your body, like whether it's from food or whatever. And so you start to kind of realize what we are and how weak we are as human beings and how dependent we are on the world around us. So I was just wondering if you could connect that to humility, if there is a connection there, or what that is like.
Sure, it is.
and I think he is going to touch it later. And there are two aspects, I would very fast, that if we connect fasting with building something, some part of our spiritual life, with prayer, with growing in virtues, or with defeating of passions. So if we do this, so well, it is connected to this humility, because we admit that there is a lack of something, that we are not perfect, that we need this fight. Another aspect is that we have to keep this humility in our heart even during fasting, because we should not show others what we are doing. Actually, we are not supposed to even like to tell. And we have to actually hide this practice in front of others. There was like this story from these monks in desert. There was one elder. It was said that when he was known that he fast, his fast was very strict, but still when he was in community with other monks or visiting somebody, and if they offered him, for example, wine, he would drink the wine. He would break this his fast, but his disciples, they started to take care of him, because they told those monks who they were about to visit, don't give him wine, because of love he will drink one cup, but then 2 days he will not even drink drop of water and food. He would fast like three times more, you know, totally. But because he was not able to tell them no. From one thing that he, because of love, because he appreciates hospitality, even like this really simple, very simple. And third thing, he took it as a moment when he conquered his pride again. That he showed himself as a not perfect in front of others. Did I answer your question? All right. So let's continue.
The daily bread of a Christian is Christ himself. Insatiable satiety from this bread is salvific satisfaction and joy to which every Christian is called. We are called to insatiably fill ourselves with the Word of God, to insatiably fill ourselves with the commandments of Christ, to insatiably fill ourselves with the food of the Lord. Thou hast prepared a table before me against them that trouble me. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and thy cup that inebriateth me, how strong it is.
Yeah. Again, he just continues, and we were talking about this, that goal of life is Christ. And he gives us this satisfaction of our soul, this fullness of life. And like St. Isaac Sirenian, he says that you cannot come to knowledge of divine, you cannot come to divine knowledge with full stomach. And what are those, the divine knowledge, these God's mysteries? And he says that, well, God's word, it's one thing which can fill us. Christ's commandment. And like Branchner said before, that by keeping commandments, we slowly discover this wisdom which is there, this blessing which is God put to this fulfillment of these commandments. We don't know it ahead, we know it later when we keep commandments. This some kind of knowledge we cannot get from books comes to our soul, to our heart, and fills us in that point that we don't want to go away. This quite mystical thing. It's something what we have to come through experience through this, and Eucharist is fulfillment of this fullness. And so fast is tool for us for transformation of our inner heart, of our soul, inner man, and it is this transformation is, I would say, it is like this healing all these wounds from this fall which happened in paradise. We stop to be this old man and we become new man, who is similar to Christ. All right. Are we able to make another? Probably yes.
Where shall we begin, says St. Macarius the Great, we who have never studied our own hearts? Standing without, let us knock on the door through prayer and fasting. As the Lord himself commanded us, knock, and it will be opened to you. This labor, which is offered to us by one of the greatest teachers of the monastic life, was the labor of the holy apostles. Through it, they were granted to hear the words of the Spirit. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. From this labor in which they combined prayer and fasting, they heard the command of the Spirit to include the Gentiles in their missionary endeavors. What a marvelous union is achieved by fasting and prayer. Prayer is without effect if not established on fasting, and fasting is fruitless if prayer is not created from it.
Okay, so he says this, what we are talking about, that we have to reach this unity, fasting plus spiritual life. And in this part, Rancino, he gives like this really very necessary connection, fasting and prayer, reminds us that this is the tool how we can understand, come to understanding of commandments of God's word, about these God's mysteries, and gives this example from Acts of Apostles, that they connected, you know, prayer and fast, and from this new understanding came. They were able to understand Spirit, Holy Spirit, what Holy Spirit was trying to give them as knowledge, as their mission. And so it means that we have to, this is like calling for us, that even like prayer is very, we will be talking about prayer in the next chapter, but there is a preparation for prayer which is important, and fasting is one of this preparation. And like we have like now, even like before Eucharist, we have like you should keep 1 hour, you know, not to eat. And many times we understand this well because of our respect of our Eucharist. But true is that, yes, but true is it to prepare a body for Holy Liturgy. And you know that before it was that if you wanted to come to liturgy, you had to, and to receive Holy Communion, you should fast from midnight. And still we keep it like on during Great Fast. It's like on Wednesday, Fridays, we don't eat until President Iva gives liturgy, or we don't drink. Well, at least how much we are able to do this. And when we started, it was liturgical reform, you know, 1997 in Slovakia. It means that because we are under communists, we didn't have good translations, etc., etc. So we renewed this liturgical life. And we started with Pristinica gives liturgies, and I said, well, you should not, you know, you should keep this fast from morning up to evening. Oh, it was very interesting. Well, many people, they kept it. But when it was funny, when the liturgy was over, you could see like everybody was running home, you know. Like, church was empty so fast, you know. Everybody was hungry. But if you do this, if you try that, you realize that your experience of the prayer will be totally different. if you have this fast, it's totally different when you make this preparation for the liturgy. Even like on Sundays when you come for the liturgy, if you skip like breakfast, you know, and you come for and you might be hungry, it might be a little bit fatigue, you know. But if you do this because I want my mind to be sharp, may I am able to pray. So it is totally different experience. You are able really to pray, because many times we can slip to this because we know text, we sing, but our mind is who knows where. But when you are hungry, when this mind is free from, you know, these energies goes to your spirit, to your soul, not to your body. So then you are more concentrated, and there are so many things they hit you during liturgy that you want to even like stop for a moment, because I want to enjoy this moment, because something touched me so very, very, very hard. So it is very, very important to connect this and to make this unity. And it might be difficult for us because, well, I have to say the same thing about what you can tell me, that I grew up in these conditions. Well, fasting was limited to keep some these limits church gave us. And I didn't experience somehow very strict fasting rule, you know, in my life. Well, it was relatively strict, but not as they say, Holy Fathers. And it is difficult to change it. It's difficult to skip. If I grew up with some kind of way how I was keeping this fast, and you cannot expect that you can change like that, you know, that like in one day. And there was very interesting, I read about one Benedictine who decided that he's going to follow this original rule of fasting as Saint Benedict prescribed. And he was writing about this, that he made this decision, and he made little steps. At first he skipped breakfast, and he, several months he went with that. Then he added something else. And after 3, I think, years, he reached this ability with, like, to keep this original rule of fasting of Saint Benedict without some kind of difficulty. So we have to be wise even with fasting. We maybe are scared what Ignatius is telling us about fasting, and we say, well, how can I do this? But well, we have to apply some kind of wisdom. If we accept this as teaching and we want to do something for our soul, we can start to make little steps. and it, but to do it with intention, you know, just many started with that. I'm going to eat less. I will keep what I am doing now, but it will be less. I'm not going to eat to full satisfaction. And then in this process, after a few weeks, they add, okay, now I'm going to remove some kind of foods, you know, some quality. And again later, now I'm going to skip this, and to really to come to the point that I would fast, but still I would have, meanwhile I will learn what my body needs for my work, if what I'm doing, how I'm doing, and because I cannot get weak. But we would be surprised at how little we need to have good life. And so we eat too much. And it became habit, but truth is the body needs much less. And we have to find this level, what we need to keep our body running, you know, in good health. And but be really open for, but not let body to give us orders, you know, how to live. It should be our soul, our mind, who gives rules. Okay, I think we can finish here. So again, I'm saying that another type of fasting, kind of fasting, will be that we are going to have break next week. Okay?
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.